2 Kings chapter number 6, please. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Again, want to thank all of you for the prayers and the support that have gone out to the Weatherly family in light of Ms. Betty's homegoing. And we've just seen God pour out His grace upon that family over these last few days, and the Lord just really magnify Himself in a difficult time. And we are trusting the Lord to continue to work mightily, continue to pray. Services will be here tomorrow in this church at visitation will be 12. And then, of course, we'll have the service here at 2 p.m. So if you can make that tomorrow as we honor Ms. Better's life, that will be here. So be praying about that. If you can't, please just pray and trust the Lord to help us to work through it mightily. We're here in 2 Kings chapter number 6, and we were in verses 1 through 7 last week. This week we will seek to be in verses 8 through 23. I'm not going to read all of those verses for the sake of time, but I do want to point out a couple particular verses to you. And I would like us to see there in verse number 13, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 13. And he said, that is the king of the Syria, said, go and spy where he, that's Elisha, where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he, Elisha, answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, Seeing the Unseen. Seeing the Unseen. Let's pray together. Father, we are looking to You this morning for help from Your Word and from Your Spirit. And Lord, I'm thankful that You have called this group of people together for such a time as this. This Sunday morning, Lord, You have arranged for us to be together. And Lord, I'm praying that our hearts would be tender and sensitive and open to You and to Your working. And may, Lord Jesus, You be exalted and glorified. And may Satan and his demonic army be bound by the blood of Christ. And may You have Your will and way. We pray these things by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll remember what is taking place here. Elisha is now moved from the miracle of restoring the lost axe head, and it transitions immediately into verse 8, talking about the king of Syria. What's going on here? Well, the king of Syria is wanting to war against Israel. And so he has this plan to invade, and he keeps making these plans to invade, but for somehow the Israelites, the nation of Israel, keeps avoiding these attacks. And it has this king perplexed. It has him confused. In fact, so confused that this king of Assyria is beginning to think that his own people are turning on him.
And he confronts them about which one of you is giving away my plans. And of course, it comes back to him, to the king, and says, King, it's not any of us. In fact, it's that prophet Elijah. He hears what you're saying in the bedchamber. That means in the place of privacy. These plans that you're making, it's the man of God that's hearing you, and he's giving away your plans. And so this king is furious. The king of Syria, all right, if that's the case, go get him. Go get him now. So what the king of Syria does, he sends a band of some of his elite soldiers and the chariots and the horses, and they go and they surround this little town called Dothan, where Elisha is residing with his servant, and go surround this town to take Elisha and to destroy everything they can. That is the scene we have here. And God is going to manifest some things Elisha and his servant and to many others on his power and his providence and his sovereignty. And it's amazing we'll learn to take hold of these truths and apply them to our lives. God's going to help this servant see some things that are unseen. You know, I think about simple things of life that sometimes we take for granted. One of those is electricity. We stand here this morning, we've been able to have the lights on, we've been able to have our air conditioner on, we've been able to have the screen on with announcements and some of our songs and whatnot, and many of us are thankful for that. I hope all of us are, but electricity, it's one of the most important forms of energy. We cannot see, hear, or smell electricity. But we know about it by what it does. Electricity produces light and heat, and it provides power for household appliances and for all those things we use daily and industrial machinery and so on. Most of the electricity that we use daily consists of a flow of tiny particles called electrons. You say you're getting in some details here. Not really. Electrons are the smallest units of electricity. And everything around us, including our bodies, contains electrons. Therefore, everything can be thought of as partly electrical. Now, this phenomenon of electricity is quite fascinating when we think about the details of it. To us, as we see it as a major involvement of our everyday lives, and we depend on it for nearly everything we do. Now, why are you going with this, Pastor? I'm speaking of that as an opening illustration, and that is something we cannot see, but we depend on every day of our lives. Something that affects us all in some way every day, and that's in the physical realm. But what I would like to point out is what's much more important is to understanding the unseen and the spiritual realm. There are some things, my folks, my friends, that you cannot see without the power of God in your life. And we see that and we access that through a channel called faith. Faith in the Almighty. Faith that He is working. Faith that He is providing. Faith that He is meeting us where we are. And that's what we see happen here. I want to see these examples from the life of Elisha. We see this electricity as in the physical realm, but in this passage we see something that goes much deeper than that. Electricity, immense and involved as it is, does not measure to the immensity of the Almighty God and His intricate and personal involvement in our everyday lives. No man or woman in this room has ever seen God. None of us have ever seen God. Yet, but each of us, most of us, I hope, can give a testimony of how the God that we've never seen has personally changed our life. How He has entered into us and convicted us and drawn us to Himself and shown Himself power to, powerful to save, powerful to change, powerful to guide, powerful to lead, powerful to conform. And it is a mighty God that we know that we've never seen yet. We know He is working in our lives because He has revealed Himself through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and through His precious Word. We know that God exists. We know that God is working. And we understand that this supernatural power in our life is every day. We recognize Him as, first of all, Creator, the sustainer of life. He's put all these things together that we call life. This earth, this solar system, all these things that we experience daily. God is in it. He is involved in all of those things. And that indeed is awesome. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about the creation, the design of things, and it requires a designer. And you know, it's just like this watch right here. If I were to hand this to somebody and let them know, look, you may not believe this, but this watch that has the design that it does, and it keeps time as long as the battery is in it. Amen. It does keep time, and it'd be great for preachers to keep the time. Amen. When they're preaching. But the fact of the matter is, one day it just all of a sudden appeared. In fact, I'll go even worse. I'll even make your faith stretch even further. Actually, it just didn't appear one day. It actually took millions of years to kind of creep in together and start connecting with one another. And that's what evolutionists would teach, that's exactly what happened. It took millions of years, and this watch finally came together and is what it is today. I want to tell you something. This watch has a design. And I don't know what company designed it or put it together, but I know one thing. There was a designer, and I want to tell you one thing. We have a designer. We have a creator, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the Most High God, and He not only created us, but He also has saved us, because His creation departed from the perfect will of God in the garden. They disobeyed Him in the garden, but yet in His mercy He has reached out to save us. We see Him, my brethren, through the eyes of faith. How do we see our God? We see Him through faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. And that is the walk of the child of God. And we're going to see here with Elisha. Elisha demonstrates the ability to see the hand of God through the eyes of faith. Now you can have 20/20 vision physically here this morning and be blind as a bat spiritually. You can have this eyesight in the world, in this room, yet but be blind spiritually. Even as a child of God, you can be blind spiritually, stunted in your growth, not moving forward in grace because of your lack of faith in the Almighty. We see that here that the Christian has a revelation through the Word of God. But I want to tell you, it must go further than this revelation. I'm thankful for the revelation of God. Genesis to Revelation, every bit of it, every word of it. It's true. I'm thankful for it, but it must not stop there. Not that we need to add to it. It's sufficient in itself as far as the revelation from God. But God wants us to take the next step. We recognize this as being the true, infallible, preserved, inspired Word of God. Most Christians believe that. Most Christians do. But what about the next step? What's the next step? The next step is actually going that step further, where not only we accept this as truth, but we practice this as truth. We practice the Word of God. And that's what God is doing in each of our lives, getting us to that next step of practicing that which we say is true. And Elisha saw the realm of the unseen through the lens of faith. Let me point you to a couple things here to show you that. Number one, I want us to see Elisha's awareness that God is always near. Elisha shows very clearly that God is always near. Going back to our passage, we'll see this servant get filled with fear. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. He was so rad. He woke up in the morning and Elisha may have been sleeping, reading. I don't know what all Elisha was doing. All we know is the servant went out. And when he went out, he looked around and I don't know if he was getting the sleep out of his eyes. If he was giving a good old stretchy yawn. I don't know all what was going on. But when he opened his eyes, what he saw scared him to death. He looked around and he cried out, "Alas, Master!" And the next question is, what are we gonna do? Anybody ever felt like that in life? The things that came your way and the things that are maybe in your life right now, you look at and you think, oh my, I feel surrounded. I feel compassed about with many foes and opposition, and I don't know what to do. Well, this man was scared, but Elisha had an awareness that God is always near. Aren't you thankful for that, church? That the God of our Bible is always near. I think about the imminence of God. The imminence of God simply means the reality that God is near, and not just near, but He's always near. Listen, God never travels. God has never been on a trip. When you look at the eternal Godhead that we see, the three in one, God has always existed, and He is, and we see that His imminence is here, always. You know, I think when I worked with the people in North Africa that the religion of Islam, they think that there is a special, privilege, if you will, when they go to Mecca. The home of Islam, and they go there thinking that that's where they truly will find God. That's where they truly will experience God. That's where they truly will secure a place in heaven when they go to this city, because that's where the most important, the highest place you can go on earth to truly find God in His fullness. But I want to tell you, for the Bible believer, you don't have to go anywhere to find God. You find God wherever you are, because God is everywhere. The imminence of God. He's always right here. Wherever the here is. Wherever the here may be for you and me, I want to tell you, God is there. Wherever you are in your life, in this season of doubt, season of depression, a season of perplexity, a season of confusion, I don't know what season you're in, but I want to tell you what, I know for a fact that God is there. And He's there in fullness. He's there because He declares He's there. Psalm 139:8 says, the psalmist says, "If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there." He went on to say, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there." I want to tell you, if the Christian will settle on that God is always near, I want to tell you, it will dispel all fear. All unhealthy fear will be dispelled because we believe that God is always near. He has never go away. He's always close. I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to my heart. But I believe Elisha had an awareness that God was always near when he steps out and declares this exhortation and this prayer for this servant. But we see that Elisha was also had an awareness that God is always greater. Look at the passage. It's here in verse number 15, after he saw the foes of the Syrian army surrounding him, verse 16, Elisha says this, "Fear not, for they that be with us are what, church? More than they that be with them." I believe through the eyes of faith, not only did Elisha always see as God being near, but he also saw that God is always, and I mean always, greater. Greater than your problem, greater than your vice, greater than your addiction, greater than your besetting sin, greater than your problems in your family, greater than your job problems, greater than the problems in this church, greater than anything. Greater than anything. God is greater. And that only comes through the eyes of faith, because I can read that all day long. I can read in the scriptures how great God is, and I can accept that as truth. But until I live that out, my friends, through the lens of faith, I tell you, there will be no change of me seeing the unseen. It's when you and I take that step of faith, when we see the truth and say, God, I'm accepting that and I'm going forward in faith, trusting you, that is where you start seeing the hand of God in your life. That's where you see His Spirit begin to move and change you and move you and break you and put you back together and conform. God just works because He's greater. God is always greater. The great God who inhabits eternity. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22 says to give you a little bit of understanding of talking about the vastness and immensity of Almighty God. Listen to what Isaiah said. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, and we think about how small we are in comparison even to planets around us, stars around us, our own sun. We talk about light years. You know, that doesn't mean very much to us when because we hear it so much, but a light year is actually nearly 6 miles. Now, if you can't get your mind wrapped around, listen, I want you to know, join the club. 6 trillion miles? I can't even get my wrapped around 6 million miles. Much less 6 trillion, but that is a light year. And we have, recognized planets and stars even being millions of light years away. So millions of trillions, and that it just speaks of the greatness of God's creation. But here we have little man with his little glass telescope just scratching the surface, folks. Just scratching the surface of the millions and billions of stars and planets that hadn't even been discovered. And God knows them by name. God's put them in place. He knows the number of them. I'm telling you, we serve a great and mighty God. And I want to tell you, you want your faith to increase? It is absolutely necessary for you and me to meditate on the immensity of God often. We serve a big, great God. And He is able to break through any barrier that you can think of. He is able to see you through any storm, any fire, solve any problem that you are experiencing. That's our God. And I want to tell you, according to the authority of Scripture, when I meditate on that and I think about that, I believe that's what Elisha saw. He gets up and he prays. And thank God that Elisha was compassionate to this young man, impatient with him. He didn't get up and say, "You idiot! Didn't you read your Bible this morning? Didn't you have prayer this morning?" You know what he did? He prayed for him. He said, "God, would you open this young man's eyes and help him to see what I'm seeing?" And when he prayed that prayer of compassion, oh, the young man saw, the Bible says. He looked around and he saw. And that is exactly what God wants you to do this afternoon, this morning. We haven't got afternoon yet. We're working there, okay? But God wants you to do that in your life. Say, if you feel like you're blind right now, if you feel like you can't see the hand of God in your life, pray, "Lord, open my eyes because I know it's there.
I want to walk by faith. I tell you what, Elisha's awareness that God is always greater. He's greater in His physical presence because of His creation, but also in His spiritual presence. God is greater than our foe, the enemy, Satan. He's greater than my own evil heart. I love 1 John 4:4. When he goes on, the context is he's talking about the church there, the believers were going to be facing Antichrist, people that hated God, people that were deceivers, people that preyed on Christians. And but you know what he says here? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the Antichrist. You have overcome them. And he says here, because why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't just read over that. Let it sink deep into your soul that your God is greater than anything you can ever imagine. That is where faith increases. Your awareness of the imminence and the immensity of God. And then I want us to see here, we see Elijah's awareness that God is always in control. Look what's going to happen here. And verse 18, after in verse 17, Elisha prayed that a man's eyes and his spiritual eyes would be opened. And verse 18, we see that he prays that eyes would be closed, that there would be a blindness of the heart. Listen to what he says here in verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, talking about the Syrian army, the band of soldiers. He says, I pray thee with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now get it. We talked about seeing the unseen. I believe God, by faith, I believe God helped Elisha. Elisha through the eyes of faith and by God's empowering, Elisha was able to see and understand the sovereign plan of God. Because folks, as many of us have experienced even in recent days, there are things that happen in life, quite frankly, we just don't understand why it had to happen the way it did. But that's where, through the eyes of faith, that we accept that God knows what He's doing. And that God is completely in control. Because we know that God has never had an accident. He's never made a mistake. He's never been put in a situation where He's been confused or worried. Never. Never. And I believe that through the eyes of faith, Elisha understood that God was in control. Because what we're about to see here transpire is truly amazing. What happens? Well, the plan of God was for these Syrians. And again, this servant, he didn't know this, but I believe Elisha did. God's plan for this band of soldiers that have gotten around the city of Dothan was to take them to the capital city of Israel called Samaria. That was the stronghold. That's where you don't want to go when you're fighting the enemy, when you just have a band of soldiers, okay? That's the place you want to go with the whole Syrian army, which they will because of Israel's disobedience. But as far as this band of soldiers, they did not want to be in the center of Samaria, I'm here to tell you. But look what happens. God blinds them. Elisha prayed as they surrounded and he said, Lord, would you blind these men? Who believe that these men were not blinded physically? You say, well, why do you think that? Well, because they followed Elisha 10 miles south across rough terrain into Samaria. And I believe that there was a type of blindness there that was a lack of discernment. There was a confusion put upon them that they didn't know, understand all that was going on. And you say, how could that be? Because God can do that. Because He's sovereign and He's amazing
And all his ways and what he does is simply miraculous. And so he puts this blindness upon them where they accept Elisha. And then some say in our passage here, we see Elisha said unto them in verse number 19, look, Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Some would say, well, hey, isn't Elisha telling a lie right there? No. Don't believe he is. I believe that he's telling them the truth because you know who's going in front of them? Elisha. And Elisha's going to bring them to himself. He's just going to do it in a different city. And he's bringing them to a city not only where Elisha's going to be, but where the king of Syria, of Israel, excuse me, is going to be. So here they are. They come and they follow him. They lead them out 10 to 12 miles south, and they find themselves right in the city, and then Elisha again is going to bring them there, and their eyes are going to be opened. Look what at verse 20. He prays. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Now again, you think about the earlier, who was struck with fear. Can you imagine these fellas? That would be like me or you or whoever, you being taken captive by an enemy, and you waking up or taking the blindfolds off or whatever it may be and waking up and you're right in the center of enemy territory. It's a little bit real with me. When I was in North Niger, it was a very much a possibility that my family or some other foreigner could have been taken captive and put right in the middle of ISIS captivity. That's a scary place to be in the center of the enemy's camp. So I'm just trying to paint an illustration here that the fact that I woke up and here they are in the center. Their senses come to them. They realize where they are and what is going to happen is a part of God's plan. Someone that did not understand the sovereignty of God in this and the plan of God, what God was doing, was the king of Israel, Jehoram. Jehoram wanted to do something immediately. Hey, we got those band of Syrians, those rebel bandits. Let's get them right now. They're trying to attack our city. Let's get them right here. And they piped up. The king said to Elisha, hey, shall we kill them right here? Shall we kill them right here? In fact, the word of God says specifically, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them in verse number 21? And look at the response in verse number 22. Look at the response. Elisha does rebuke him. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Now, wait a minute. Elisha, what? Give them food and drink and send them back to their master? The Syrians? The ones that are wanting to kill us? Our enemies? Yeah. You see, understand, church, the things that take place in our life that are hard, sometimes hurtful, sometimes confusing. I want to tell you something. Mark it down. God in His sovereignty and His plan is always going to take your trial and my trial and use it to bring others to Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Your valley, God's going to use it to bring others to Himself. I believe that this servant didn't understand at the time of Elisha, but I'm sure he just kind of hopped along with Elisha. I'm just using my sanctified imagination. Let me clarify. I don't read this in the Bible, but I'm just thinking in my imagination. This servant's coming along. Elisha, you know what you're doing? Elisha, you sure about this? Anybody ever question God's sovereignty? Oh, yeah. We do. God, you sure about this? How are you going to use this, God? How are you going to use this? I don't know if that servant was saying that. I know when they got to that city, those Syrians soon find out about not only the sovereignty of God, and not only would that king of Israel understand about the sovereignty of God, but both the servant, the Syrians, and the king of Israel would also learn about the mercy of God. Because God's sovereign plan is always working, ladies and gentlemen, to demonstrate His mercy. He's always wanting to manifest His mercy, His grace. We call the gospel. And God is going to extend that here in full control. He's going to bring these Syrians, and you know good and well they knew it was coming. Here we are in the center. This crazy king is about to kill us. But Elisha steps up and says, no, that's not God's plan. What you're going to do is you're going to feed, and you're going to give them drink, and you're going to send them back on their way. What is that showing right there, church? It's showing the mercy of God. It's showing the grace of God. And sure enough, the king, he obeys. And we see here in verse number 23, look what it says. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Do you see the mark it made? There were no more bands that would come, these groups of rebels, to go and to cause harm. They would come back, as we see in the next verse, and they would besiege that city as a whole army. Ben-Hadad II would come, and the whole army, they would besiege that. But as far as the bands, no more. Why? Because they witnessed the sovereignty and power of God and the mercy of God. Jehoram, he wanted vengeance. Elisha, he declared mercy. Can I also say this, not only bringing people to Christ, but let me say this. God will bring things into our life, church, as Christians. Trials, afflictions, sufferings, to bring about a revival in our lives. Because we grow cold, don't we? We grow lukewarm. And God will bring some things in our life. And I want to tell you, if you will just let God have His way and not buck it, not rebel against it, not protest against it, but just say, God, I don't understand this, but I understand that You are sovereign. And I understand the things that You've allowed to come into my life. I'm going to allow You to have Your way. And I'm telling you what, that will bring about revival. A spiritual revival. An awakening. Your senses, that things that you didn't see before in your carnality, my carnality, I can't see a thing that God's doing. Oh, God's working against me. Everything's going wrong. I try to do right. This goes wrong. I can't see a thing that God's doing in my life. In fact, I'm miserable and I'm giving up. I'm not going back to church. I'm not reading my Bible anymore. I'm not forgiving that person. Hey, that's called blindness. But you say, dear God, I don't understand that, but I understand You, and You're loving, and You're gracious, and You're sovereign, and I'm trusting You. Woo! Your eyes will be open, your heart will be opened, you'll be set free, and you'll live in the power of God. I want to tell you right now, but it's things that can only be seen through the eyes of faith and obedience. You see what God is showing us here. The plan of God. Understanding that's going to work together for our good and His glory. As Paul told the Romans. A young girl unaccustomed to traveling was taking a train ride through the country. This precious little girl did not have much experience doing this. And it happened that in the course of the day, her train was obliged to cross, get it, two branches of a river and several wide streams. And this struck a little fear in her heart. The water seen in advance always awakened doubts and fears in this little girl's heart. She was being transparent. She was being honest. She did not understand how it could be safely crossed. And as they drew near the river, however, a bridge appeared. And it simply furnished a way over. And it took her off guard. It kind of caught her by surprise. And two or three times the experience was repeated. She'd have a little fear, a little trembling. Oh. And then this bridge would appear and boy, she would just stay put and just went right on over. And as this was repeated, and finally the child leaned back with a long breath of relief and confidence. And this little girl said this, "Somebody has put bridges for us all the way." She said that in a trusting spirit. And folks, I want to tell you, that is life. That is life. We fear so many evils. We fear so many troubles. And we look at how dark it is ahead. The difficulties seem insurmountable. And we get discouraged. But as we advance, we find that there is a way. Because every time, mark it down, God will come through. He will make a way. That's our God. That's the sovereign God. Warren Wiersbe said, "You and I cannot change or control the world around us, but we can change and control the world within us." And what he means by that is each of us have been given a free will to simply choose to trust God. No matter the circumstance, no matter the difficulty, no matter the opposition, "I'm going to trust you, Lord." Let's pray.